I just want to mention a thing or two about the tables before we start. First of all, let me just say that when you see what we're going to talk about, you're going to think that Chris and I probably spent several months on the phone talking to each other. We saw each other, well, we met this afternoon again. I think we were in Winnipeg together, but we didn't pre-discuss this, but it just shows how the Lord works things together, and that's wonderful. On the table, there's several things I enjoy for you to look at, and one of those is Bill McDonald's commentary. Bill McDonald was a friend of mine before he went to be with the Lord. We had the privilege at the school of publishing the first book that he had. It was the New Testament only. This is the entire Bible. I like it because he's a clear writer. He's a clear thinker. He's doctrinally straight. I also like it because when I study, I still study using a book and I take notes. And this book, no matter where you have it turned to, it lays flat on the table so that when you're taking notes, it doesn't close. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I just can't stand that about books. And this one's designed right. And so I have some of those over there, and I think you'll be delighted if you avail yourself to that. There's also a number of things, and you'll probably see that there's kind of a trend toward Israel products. It has to do with this BDS that Brother Chris was talking about. So there's baby blankets made in Bethlehem. There's backpacks made in Israel. There's scarves made in Israel. There's even Roman glass necklaces and other things that you'll see over there. And so if you don't buy it, at least go and look at it, because I think sometimes the products that they put out are quite unique. And it's fun sometimes for people just to see ancient Roman glass from 2,000 years ago. Well, there's probably other things to say, but I want to spend our time looking at a message. And I'm going to call it Israel, a blessing to the nations. And to be honest, some of this I redid. And so Wednesday night and Thursday night, as I told you, I get up really early. I have 11 ladies who work for me. I have one that stays up all night. And so when I'm getting up to go to work, she's just going home. And so she was up all night Wednesday and Thursday working on this. And that's okay. She sleeps in. I let her sleep in. But there's so many things taking place. And so I'm going to talk about the Israel, a blessing to the nations. Because I really believe that what Chris has been pointing out is so true. The prejudice against the country of Israel and the people of Israel, it's unbelievable. And really, I could understand if it was just, let's say, the liberal community. Or I could understand if it was just people because of their prejudiced, let's say, their geographical prejudice. But here's what shocks me. It's taking place in the church. Yeah. I actually have places where I was invited to come and speak. And by the time I finish a couple messages having to do with Israel, owning the land of Israel and so on like that, they want to know, do you have any other subjects that you speak on? Yeah, so you know what they're trying to say. That's okay. I talk about the pre-tribulation return of Christ. And then they always give me a ticket home free. So Israel, a blessing to the nations. And what I want to mention tonight has to do with some of the ideas of technology. But I want us to go, first of all, to Genesis chapter 12. And as Brother Chris was talking, there's just a couple things that I want to sandwich in here. But Genesis chapter 12, it says this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a promise of God, isn't it? It's a wonderful promise of God. And there it is in the Bible. And so, really, I'm trying to convince people that claim to be Christians, that claim to believe the Word of God, how God is using the Jewish people to bring a blessing to all the world. And I want to do it in several different ways. But as you look at this, number one, I think you'd say that he talks about a land. Chapter 12, verse 1, a land. And isn't it amazing today, such a conflict for the land of Israel. And so I'm going to take a little side detour because I really feel strong about this. And one of the reasons, because less than a week ago, I had an incredible discussion with a person how this topic even came up, it's just ridiculous. It's okay, it did. And when he found out that I've been 68 times to Israel, he said, I can't believe that you go there and support the Jews in that land. Wow. Now, I'm not going to give you his name. But let me just show this. He preaches every Sunday to a packed church. He claims to be the Bible. How could you do that? And so one of the things that's in question today is the land. Who does the land belong to? And you really, if you really want to know the truth, it really doesn't matter what public opinion is. What really matters is what God says. Because, you know, voting on things is almost ridiculous. It's like the second grade teacher, and someone brought a rabbit in for a class pet. So they said, well, if it's a class pet, we got to name it. And so they said, okay, what are we going to name it? And they said, well, we got to know, is it a boy or a girl? So if you were the second grade teacher, what would you do? She says, okay, we're going to vote whether it's a boy or a girl. Yeah, there were 15 boys. There were 11 girls. It was a boy rabbit. Okay, see, voting on something has nothing to do with the truth of it. Are you with me? Okay, because there's a final authority. There's something that stands the test of time. There's something that's predominant over all that. It's called the Word of God. It's called the will of God. And so today, it's almost a joke for people to be talking about who owns the land, because God has made it very clear who he says owns the land. Next, he said there's going to be a nation. What resistance to the people of Israel and to the nation of Israel. And I couldn't echo more strongly what Chris has just said. Everything that God has, Satan wants. Matter of fact, that's how he got kicked out of heaven. That's how he got demoted. He wanted worship. He wanted to be equal to God. You can't be greater than God. If God's God, nothing can be greater than God, right? And so he says, okay, I want to be equal to God. And as a result of his jealousy for God, always wanting what God has, that's how he was demoted. That's how he got kicked out of heaven. Frankly, I think that's why there's such chaos in the church. Why? Because Christ loved the church. And anything that God loves, that Christ loves, the devil's going to try to mess it up. And so we come to the nation of Israel, and then a blessing to all. Think about how it's been a blessing. And we'll talk about some of these things, but one thing is the scripture. One thing is the Savior. Brother Chris mentioned those things. I said, they're going to think we were in cahoots. Well, we are. We have the same Bible and the same Holy Spirit and the same Savior. And then incredible advances. I'm going to get into those in just a moment, but I want to take a little bit of time to talk about the land. And this is really kind of predicated on the discussion that I just had. I was shocked that a man could say that he preaches and studies the Word of God, and we argue who owns the land. Because what does the Bible say? And so since we're in Genesis, let's just go a chapter or two further. Look at chapter 14, Genesis chapter 14. And I'm going to try to watch my watch, because I only want to spend a couple minutes on this particular part. It's just kind of an extra thing I want to throw in tonight. But you remember the story in Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, that's actually Lot, his nephew, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. It's a crazy story, but you remember how that Abraham, his nephew Lot, got captured by kings. Now, frankly, I would have been tempted, if I were Abraham, just to let him take Lot. But he said, I can't do that. You know that. So he gets his army together. He has 318 farmhands. Can't you see when he announces to his cowboys, hey, we're going to go out against five kings. Now, if you were betting, who would you bet on? And they go out and they win the battle. And the story is described up through verse 17. And then verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, or we would say king of Jerusalem, is introduced. And remember, there's a blessing that he gives to Abram. And what's so incredible, when they come back from the battle, Abram says, how did we do it? I mean, really, guys, he said, when I sent you out there, I really didn't expect to win. I just thought, well, we ought to do this out of respect to the nephew. But 318 cowboys beat five armies. How does that happen? And so Melchizedek comes, and he introduces in verse 18 the idea of the Most High God, El Elyon, the highest high one.
the strongest strong one. And so it wouldn't matter if there were 40 kings that went against Abram's cowboys. When he serves El Elyon, guess who's going to win? God's going to win. Hey, keep in mind that we're serving El Elyon. It doesn't matter what the odds are. You know, someone told me, here's one of their arguments. He said, but don't you see that all the big churches, all the progressive churches, they're all going against Israel. I said, that's a good reason not to. I mean, why do we have to follow this crowd that's going to destruction? And so here they are, and there's a blessing coming. And then chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? See what Abram's saying? He says, look, God, I know you did an incredible thing. You won the battle. And you keep saying that I'm going to promise you a land. I'm going to promise you a nation. I'm going to promise you a seed. I'm going to promise you a blessing. He said, I'm an old man. I don't even have a child. Can you criticize Abraham for saying, God, how does this work? Are you with me? Boy, I forget. Because back home, when people are with you, they're saying, amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Preach it. And up here, I think you're mad at me or something like that. Because, you know, no one says amen. Man, back home, if you sit there like that, yeah, you'd be in big trouble. Because when you say amen to a preacher, that's like saying sick him to a bulldog in a meat shop. I mean, things happen then. So here, I mean, he's just stunned. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own loins shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, said, look now toward heaven, count the stars. If thou be able to number them, he saith unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abram believed in the Lord, and Abram, it was counted to him for righteousness. Isn't that fantastic? Just that. Thank you. Just that was enough. Abraham said, okay, I'm with you. Abraham is 99 years old. His wife's no spring chicken. She's 90. And they're looking for a maternity ward. You know, when they drove up to the hospital, that had to be hilarious. I mean, I'm sure they were on a camel with a great big red X. And Abram says, where's the maternity ward? The guy said, no, you need the old folks home. The geriatrics, go down there and take a left. No, he said, no, she's about to. God's got an incredible sense of humor. As long as he does it to Abraham, it's okay, but not to us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is incredible. And so then Abraham says, okay, I believe you. And verse 8. And he says, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? That's a pretty good question, don't you think? How do you know? What's the proof? Do you remember what it was? It's unbelievable. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. Here's what he says. I got to have help. I can't do it from up here. I need someone that's strong enough to get a 400-pound walrus off the stage. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Why did I ever do that? All right. He says, Abraham, I'm going to show you how I'm going to guarantee it. You see, in those days, they didn't necessarily have lawyers. So he says, all right, take these animals, split them in two. And they would take a ditch, and they would put half of the sheep here and half of the sheep here so that it drained into the ditch. And there was a river of blood. And all the big animals would be cut in half. The small ones wouldn't be cut in half. And they would put them there. And then what would happen, if you wanted to make a bargain with somebody, then what you would do, you probably did this as a kid. We had a clubhouse and we'd sign our deal with blood. We'd prick our skin and put blood on there. And that meant, you know. And so when you walked the trail, you said, if anything stops me from keeping my bargain, then let death come to me. You see what I'm saying? Read the story. Guess what happens? While God walks the trail, Abraham falls asleep. Now, I have a lot of people fall asleep in my messages. But when I'm right here in front of you, it's really hard, isn't it? Yeah, okay. But I mean, can you imagine? God is walking this trail. And he walks it. He does the bargain. And when he comes back, Abraham never walks the trail. You know what that says? It doesn't depend on Abraham. It depends on God. Aren't you glad? What a picture of our salvation. You want to know something? My salvation doesn't depend on me. My salvation depends on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I can fail every day. I can fail every minute. But Jesus never fails. And on the cross, he smashed Satan. And I'll tell you what, listen. So he says to Abraham, here's how you're going to know. I'm going to walk the blood trail. I'm going to stain my feet in blood. I'm going to promise you the land. I'm going to promise you seed. I'm going to promise you a blessing to all the people. He says, and I sign it, God. And Abraham said, that's good enough for me. Now, look at this. I'm going to try this by myself. Oh, yeah. Go with me now. Yeah. I don't want to admit it's old age. I want it to be an injury. Genesis chapter 15, look at this. When this is all done, verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. That's pretty clear, isn't it? We know who he gave it to. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Termites, the Electricites, and the Megabites. Every ite you can think of is there. All of it. He says, I'm going to give it all to you. You map that out. Let me tell you, it's not that skinny little land that they have today. That, when God's done, you watch how big it is. It's huge. And the reason it's going to come to pass is because God said it. And so here's what we know. The land belongs to Israel. You say, yeah, but you see, when I talk to my friends who are Arabs, and by the way, I'm godfather to some Arab children. That's how long I've been going to Israel. And I have a great relationship with them. And we disagree on a number of things, but we can still talk. We can still be friends. But they say, yeah, but you see, Abraham is our father. But the Bible goes a step further. Genesis chapter 35. I was hoping you'd ask. Yeah, we're not in the message. We're still in the introduction. Genesis chapter 35. Look at verse 10. And God said unto him, this is Jacob. Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be any more called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, multiply, a nation, a company of nations shall be out of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give it. Now God goes a step further here. He says, I gave it to Abraham, to Isaac. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the Muslim point of view, is it? They don't say that Isaac went up on Mount Moriah. They say it was really Ishmael. But the Bible says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God clearly outlines this. Why are we debating it in our churches? It's high time we believe what the Word of God says. I know you're not convinced. I can tell by your eyes and the fact that you don't say amen. So go a couple chapters further. Genesis chapter 36. We may get through the introduction. Now look at this. Chapter 36, verse 1. Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Now you know that we have Abraham and Isaac, and then Jacob and Esau. Are we together? Okay. And so look at verse 8. Thus dwelled Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Chapter 37, verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a sojourner, in the land of Canaan. In the Bible, if you believe the Bible, and this man said, yeah, I believe the Bible. I believe every word of the Bible. I said, okay, then you've got to believe what God promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And he said, the land that I'm going to give to Esau is Edom. And the land that I'm going to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's the land of Canaan. It's the land that they're in right now, and it's going to get bigger. The land question, I think, is settled. How about the city? Well, there's so many people today saying, yeah, but Jerusalem. You know, let me tell you this. When you watch Israel, you're watching the time clock of God. when you watch Jerusalem, you're watching the minute hand. And when you watch the Temple Mount, you're watching the second hand. And the turmoil that's taking place on the Temple Mount today, tonight, this past week, is unbelievable. You know what it says? We need to be listening for a trumpet sound. We're going to be out of here. You do understand, I don't belong here. I'm not talking Calgary. I don't belong on earth. I belong in heaven. And just as soon as I get out of here, the Antichrist is going to have a heyday. Everything's set up for him. But there's one thing that holds him back. It's the Spirit of God in the church. My friend, when the trumpet sounds, wow, we're going to be out of here. And so how about Jerusalem? Well, look at Psalm 132. We'll just look at a couple verses, and I think you'll get the idea. Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. He said forever. I mean, that's pretty good, wouldn't you say? Second Chronicles chapter 33, a couple verses there, and then we'll move on with this whole idea. Second Chronicles chapter 33, verse 4. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Verse 7. And he set a carved image to the idol which he made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I've chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. God hasn't changed his mind. Obadiah, verse 16. He talks about the time when there will be a conflict on the Holy Mount, on the Temple Mount, involving the Arab religion, Islamic religion, and the Jews. And God said there will result in the total destruction of Islam. Wow. The land, the city, the Temple Mount. You know what? God's made some promises. And I believe we're about to see these things come to pass in a wonderful way. Now, Chris talked about BDS. And so I'm not going to spend much time. That's why I could take a few minutes to look at this. But BDS, it's incredible. Look at these signs. And time and time again, there's grocery stores, there's other stores, and they will not carry cheese and other products because they're Israeli made. There's signs, boycott Israel. There's parades, boycott Israel. Isn't that what other country puts up with that? I mean, really, isn't it ridiculous? And so, I just point that out to you because I think it shows the hatred that is there. And again, Brother Chris has dealt with that. So what I want to do, I want to do something just a little bit different. And I have maybe 15 or 20 of these handouts because I'm going to do about maybe 20 or 30 technological advances. And then I have 300 or 400 listed on these pages. Okay. And what I want to show you is this. Yeah. God talked to Abraham and he promised the land. He promised the nation. He promised a blessing to all. Is God keeping his word? Because to me, it's incredible. You know what? With all that's gone on, guess who's still in the land of Israel? The Jews. Think about the Romans. They were there with their huge army. They were there with their vast empire. They're gone. Where are the Romans today? They're back in Rome. Where's Israel? They're right where God planted them. Jerusalem. Isn't it incredible? I mean, right now, we have the United Nations says that really Jerusalem ought to belong to the United Nations. Don't give them one thing. I mean, they can't manage what they've got. The Catholic Church says that they should do it. They could. Oh, I don't know about that. Everyone wants Jerusalem. Want to know why? Because God claimed it. Anything God claims, everybody wants it. So now, how about these advances? Well, here's one. In Beersheba, in the city, multinational players like IBM, Cisco, Lockheed, Martin, RSA, a Dutch telecom are looking towards finding cybersecurity for fragile infrastructures. I'm sure that I don't tell you a secret when I tell you that probably one of the key ingredients of the next war, however it's going to take place, wherever it's going to be, is to do the infrastructure. Are you with me? Have you ever had electricity go off for a period of time? It's bad. Have you had your internet go down? That's horrible.
Okay. I have a school of 600. I've got 30 Chinese. The internet went down for 2 hours. Oh my goodness. They were shaking. I can't do my game. What am I going to do? I got to eat my fingers. It was horrible. We lost the internet. The infrastructure is incredible. So everyone knows it, and Israel is too. And so guess what? Israel's working on a security system to try to protect it. Or how about this one? A small Israeli Arab village in Lower Galilee has one of the highest ratios of doctor per capita in the world. No one talks about that. It's wonderful, isn't it? Intel. Y'all know who Intel is? Yeah, okay. I worked for IBM in the research center for a while, but Intel's kind of taken the lead. Game changer. They have something called Sky Lake. Experts believe will significantly advance the computing industry. Matter of fact, what is going to take place in the next year or two is going to make every single computer and cell phone you have completely, totally out of date. That's what's going on. It's all taking place in Israel. Yeah. Here's one. Israel produces more scientific papers per capita than any nation by a large margin. 109 papers per 10,000 people. Okay. It has the highest per capita rates of patents filed. Now to get a patent, it says that there's some insight, there's some genius involved in that. In proportion to its population, Israel has the largest number of startup companies in the world. In absolute terms, Israel has the largest number of startup companies more than any other country in the world except the United States. But the difference is, most of Israel's startup companies are high tech. Back home, we're startup companies on Barbie dolls, skateboards, and so on. Israel ranks number two in the world for venture capital, right behind the United States. I mean, think about how small Israel is. And look how they're competing. Israel leads the world in number of scientists and technicians in the workforce, 145 per 10,000, opposed to 85 in the United States, 70 in Japan, 60 in Germany. This is unbelievable. You begin to look at all the statistics. You know what's happening? Here's what you've got to admit. The mind, the ingenious outlook of the Israeli people have been an incredible blessing to the world. Can you imagine if the world had not murdered 6 million Jews, the cures and the technology that would be here? Let me just tell you this. I'm quite convinced that they murdered in the Holocaust the cure for cancer. I'm quite convinced that Alzheimer's, the cure for it, was annihilated in the Holocaust. You see, there's a high price to pay for us ignoring that. Let's talk about medicine. Because here's a researcher. He has the world's smallest DNA computing machine. Okay? I mean, this thing is handheld. I mean, it's incredible. There's a unique grassroots organization that offers emergency medical treatment in Israel. It's now training volunteers who save lives across North and South America. The leader of this is Israel. Breast cancer breakthrough. Okay? It's unbelievable. The breakthroughs, billions of dollars are being spent in America. Israel's making the advances. Matter of fact, you want to know something? I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. The best money the United States spends for cancer research is when we give a grant to Israel. They're years ahead of what's taking place anywhere else. Look at the world's smallest video camera. Compare that to a dime. Look at that. 0.99 millimeter diameter is designed by an Israeli medical device company to fit into the end of a tiny scope for inside body inspections. Israeli diagnostic company, they developed a home diagnostic product that can detect a heart attack even before it takes place. Think about this. I mean, this is cutting edge stuff. And Israel is a small midget country. What did God say? I'm going to give you a land. He did, but the world's ignoring it. I'm going to give you a nation, and the world's persecuted. I'm going to make you a blessing to all the people. God is doing that in spite of the persecution and the boycott that's going on. Look at this. They even have they've some of the best research on Alzheimer's is actually being done in Israel. It has to do with electrical pulses that are going on. This one's just incredible. The first ingestible video camera. Yeah, it fits in a pill. You take it, and it sends out video as it travels through your digestive system. I mean, this is incredible. Israel research has found out that the red pigment in tomatoes actually lowers blood pressure. I mean, this is just crazy. In farming, I'm sure you're aware of the drip irrigation system. And it's used to grow incredible crops, minimizing water. But here's one that I think is interesting, because they also have a company that's a large-scale solar-powered functional electricity generator. It's in California. And how come I'm losing some of my picture? And this thing is being used in the desert in the United States, and it's growing incredible crops there. Okay, we're patterning it after what's taking place in the Judean desert just south in Israel. Or how about this one? They've got algae to fuel a car. Yeah. I mean, think about this. They have a bike. It's made out of cardboard. It's resistant to rain and to the sun. It costs $9. It's out of recycled material. They have researchers, the United States and Israel got together. They have a watermelon picking robot that has vision, artificial vision, to find the melons and to pick the melons and not damage the plants. This is incredible. They're solving problems I didn't even know were a problem. I mean, really, isn't this ingenious? Now, I could understand if we're talking about some huge country. I could talk, if this is being done, let's say, by a third of the world or a fourth of the world, I could say, okay, so what? This is being done by less than 1% of the world's population. Militarily, wow. America's new state-of-the-art F-35. I'm not going to go into all this because I'm afraid I'll give you some details, but they developed a display in their helmets. It's incorporated. It displays all vital flight data right in the helmet. They call it the greatest breakthrough in aviation probably in the last decade. Done by an Israeli. When we sell planes to Israel, one of our deals is we want to see what changes are you going to make. Guess what? We're using that change right now. Israel's many unmanned aerial vehicles, they're being used by the United States Air Force in Iraq and Afghanistan. Ever wonder how come we're making such progress in the last few years? Well, we had a president that was a Muslim. Did I say that? Yeah. Oh, my. Might even have been a Shiite Muslim. Well, anyway, he was certainly that persuasion. And he would never go after them. And all of a sudden, we changed horses. And now incredible progress is being made. You want to know why? Because Israel has incredible advances that are helping the cause to eliminate some of those situations. Or how about in architecture? Look at this bridge. I call it the Grand Canyon in China. This strange bridge, it's incredible. For its strength, its design, and a minimum amount of material for the strength is already designed. I mean, it's just, by the way, another thing, they did the Iron Dome. When they did that in 2014, remember the Gaza conflict? Some of the components were from a toy car from Toys R Us. Yeah, and using components from a toy, the Israelis developed the Iron Dome. I credit it with saving millions of people, not just in Gaza conflict, but in Europe as well, because that's the thing that's keeping some people from doing additional damage. Two Israeli engineers, Arab Israeli engineers, they developed a 2-inch by 2-inch computer. It's called the Cube Box. It sells for $55. It's made by an Israeli company. You know what? Every major computer company, I'm not going to mention Apple by name or any of the other ones by name because I'll probably get a lawsuit. They say, okay, how do they do that? And they say, okay, we're past figuring out how they do it. They say, how can we buy it? 2-inch by 2-inch by 2-inch, it's blowing the socks off. It's going to change the whole computing world. It's wonderful. An Israeli startup store called StoreDot developed technology that can charge a mobile phone in 30 seconds. They have the first flight system to protect passengers and freight aircraft against missile attacks. I mean, this thing is the next step. By the way, remember when Russia so proudly announced their new generation of fighters? No one panicked, did they? You want to know why? I can show you the file in Israel
Oh, I can show you a file from in some country. Flag's white and blue. We've known about it for 3 years. Don't think for 1 minute we don't have something equal or better. Guess where it was designed? Yeah. Intel, the new multi-core processor, it's developed completely in Israel. Most of the Windows NT operating system, it was developed by Microsoft in Israel. Motorola has its largest research and development center outside the United States. It's in Israel. Do you get the picture? Look at this. I wanted her to put there's a video part of this. That's 300 Intel drones flying over Jerusalem. You should see you can look it up on the internet. It's incredible to see the design. They have those drones flying in sequence. They actually make the dove fly. Yeah, it's just fantastic. Millions of America's youngsters are going to be safer. Why? Because they have a new security system that they're going to put on chat rooms developed by Israel. Yeah. They're bringing about a new smartphone, a whole new way to type with an invisible keyboard. By the way, if you use a computer at all, it's impossible for you to boycott Israel. If you use a cell phone at all, it's impossible for you to boycott it. Isn't that hilarious? Here's the world, and they say, don't buy tomatoes that are producing, and they're telling their friends on the cell phone. Yeah. Look, God's going to have the upper hand. Do you see what I'm saying? This is incredible. So with all these things that are taking place, here's what I say. I say that God is fulfilling his promise to Abraham. Now, I got to go quickly. Remember, I mentioned that God said the land, and there's such a controversy about it. God said Jerusalem. There's such a controversy. When Donald Trump said, okay, we're going to recognize Jerusalem, that should have been no big deal. I mean, what would you say if I came up here and said, you know what? Ottawa is not the capital of Canada. Instead, it's going to be Winkler. You'd say, Winkler? And I say, no, we're going to recognize the Canada as Winkler. You say, go back across the border. We're perfectly capable of picking out our own capital. Isn't that what you'd tell me? You'd probably say in rougher language than that. Or you'd probably get one of those hunks of cheese that you guys throw down the ice in the Olympics, you know, snarling or what is it? Curling, yeah, curling. You'd probably throw a curling cheese right at me and knock my legs out from underneath me. I mean, that would be an insult if I came up here and chose a capital for you. So why did we go to Israel and they said our capital is Jerusalem and everyone's afraid to say it's Jerusalem? Isn't it ridiculous? The land is theirs. The city is theirs. Wow, folks, God's going to make it really plain. And so remember I told you another thing is the Temple Mount. So look at this. ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, says it's not fair for Israel to claim title to the Temple Mount. How did it get the name, the Temple Mount? Because there was a temple there. I mean, that's pretty smart, isn't it? And yet, the Arabs say this, there's not a single stone in the history of the world that shows there was ever Jewish occupation on the temple. He said, the Temple Mount. Yeah, he's right. There's not a single stone. There's about 20,000 tons of material, all with Hebrew writing on the pottery, all with Hebrew writing on the bricks. I can guarantee you, no Arab wrote Hebrew on those bricks and put it on the Temple Mount. You see, if you stop and think about it, it's really crazy. But there's such a conflict about it. And so even in the last week or two, this thing is just huge. Contention on the Temple Mount. I got 3 minutes. Here's the classic one. So recently, when a conflict occurred there, guess what Israel did? Metal detectors. Shame on them. How can we ever live in a world where the Jews put metal detectors up on their holy site, the Temple Mount? And guess who was protesting? Well, the Arabs, Islam. And so guess what? In Mecca, there's video cameras and metal detectors. 1,500 of them. And Israel put up less than 20. And they made a big case out of it. And then Guess who endorsed Islam? The Catholic Church. Said, that's right, you cannot put metal detectors there. Wait a minute. How many of you have been up on the Temple Mount recently? And guess what? The Arabs who run the little booth there, guess what they're using? Metal detector. And then they go through your bag and pull out a Bible. They say this book could start a revolution. I wish it would start a revolution. A spiritual revolution. I mean, this is incredible. And so here's the Catholic Church. They have over 2,500 video cameras and metal detectors throughout the Vatican. But they don't want them to put it on their holy site. You see what I'm saying? This thing is just totally ridiculous. Here's what it boils down to. They just don't want God's word to be fulfilled. Because God said, thank you, sister. God's word said, I'm going to give you a land. And he has and he will. And it'll only grow. I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to give you a people. And they've tried as hard as they could to wipe them out. And guess what? They're still here and they're flourishing. And I'm going to make you a blessing to all the world. But you know what? With all the advances in medicine, all the advances in military, all the advances in science, all the advances in technology, here's the greatest blessing. The Word of God. Do you understand that this Bible, God saw fit to give us the Word of God, and he used a Jewish hand to pen it. Isn't that wonderful? I thank God for the Word of God. I thank the Jews for the Word of God. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Jews also wrote the New Testament, didn't they? And then you know what? It was through Israel that God brought the Messiah. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing Israel's been to the whole world. And you know what? It's about time that we stop being afraid to defend what God says. It's about time we stop being afraid to defend what Israel's doing in the land. Here's why. Because God told Abraham, I'm going to bless it. It's not going to depend on you. I walked the blood trail and you were sound asleep. It depends totally on the greatness and the goodness and the love of God. May God bless you as we continue in our conference.